We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a CCO Sports Saturday, 3:07. Eric Nelson with you, going solo until 6:30. Glad you're along for the ride. What a fabulous day. 81 degrees. Sunshine, wind out of the southeast at 14, not very muggy, just a day where you got to get outside, even if it's just for a few moments. Maybe the golf course is where you'd like to be, perhaps by the lake, by a river, playing some softball, playing some football, walking, running, whatever. I went on a bike ride this morning. It was tremendous. The weather was perfect. J-Lo, Jonathan Lowe is our studio coordinator in the newsroom, Mark Hayden Fry. There it is, a segment we do periodically right here on CCO called The Business of Sports. And the star of the show is Billy Robertson, our good friend, current commissioner of the WCHA. Of course, outstanding marketing career with the Timberwolves, the Wild, the Angels, the Ducks. Billy Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Eric. How about yourself?
Real good. I'm guessing on a day like today, you were out practicing your golf swing.
I was. I was out at the new Royal Course. Actually, it's 2 years old now, out in Lake Elmo, and shot an 88 today out at that beautiful golf course. It's in spectacular condition, and as you stated earlier, it's a really nice day to be outside and soak in some of that fresh air and blue sky.
An 88, a tribute to Alan Page, perhaps. J-Lo is saying, why didn't you invite him?
Well, we got to get him out there. One of these times, I want to see that A game of his.
Well, he's working on it. It's a work in progress.
Yeah, it is for me, too.
Billy, so much to get into. Let's start with the WCHA. You're the commissioner. And, of course, a few weeks ago, you were almost ambushed in the sense that a number of the teams in your league, seven to be exact, said, we're going to leave. In 2 years, we're going to form our own hockey conference. So things are really up in the air, aren't they?
Well, it's certainly been a different summer for sure, Eric, than the regular preparations for a season. We've had that situation to deal with. And, you know, I looked at it from many different angles and through my lens, and all I can do is prepare for the upcoming WCHA and college hockey season. And that's only 7 weeks away. So we have business to attend to. It's business moving forward, as I tell a lot of people. It's not business as usual, but it's business moving forward. And that's what we have to do. And as commissioner, I have to oversee these 10 teams. And a lot can happen in 2 years. We don't know for sure how that's all going to play out. So I have to be concerned about what's happening right now and in front of me. And the cliche about taking it one day at a time, at this point, that's what we have to do. But I also have to have an eye on the future and what the future is for the WCHA as well.
Yeah, you know, and a few years ago we saw the college hockey map. It was literally blowing up. The old WCHA became non-existent. Suddenly there's Big Ten hockey, the NCHC, a lot of changes in collegiate hockey. Now you have the new WCHA. And I know one of the sticking points, Billy, has been the footprint. You've got schools in Alaska, one down in Alabama. It has made things difficult travel-wise, hasn't it?
Well, I think, yes, for a lot of the schools, they look at it from a variety of angles. And one is the travel and the missed time of classes. And I think they want to be in a conference where they believe it's going to be as competitive as possible. And over the last few years, both Alaska schools and Alabama Huntsville have not done as well as anticipated, but they're still valuable members of our league. So, again, I think more than anything, those seven schools really wanted to have more of what they call a bus league, where they're traveling by bus. And it's still going to be a broad footprint because you're going from Bemidji to Mankato all the way to Bowling Green, Ohio, which is outside of Detroit, Michigan. So it's still going to be some long trips, but it's certainly from an expense point of view, that's going to be a difference for them. But I don't really know what the plans are. They haven't really announced anything as of yet that they were exploring this possibility. And again, I need to keep great relations with all 10 schools, and that's what I'm trying to do right now.
Billy Robb, our guest. We call this segment The Business of Sports. We do it periodically here on CCO. We will segue into some other topics, Billy, and of course, hopefully things will smooth out with the WCHA. The Minnesota Twins, a team you've followed since your days as a youngster. I know you used to sell programs at the old Met in Bloomington. What kind of a boost are they getting from this season? They're now two games ahead of Cleveland. The Indians have lost today already to the New York Yankees. The crowds clearly are huge. Fans are packing Target Field. The TV and radio ratings are up. What does winning do for the Twins from that marketing standpoint and the business of success?
Well, you're seeing it right now. They're selling more merchandise. Their television ratings on Fox Sports North are through the roof, and their radio ratings on your station are going gangbusters. And what that does is create more interest and more value to the franchise. And the fact that they're going to have a pennant race here, I think, really helps. And I know a lot of people would like to see them up by 11 games and coasting into the playoffs, but I think it's going to really help them down the stretch to have Cleveland be neck and neck. And, you know, there's still 40-some games to play, and it's going to be a dogfight down to the end. And I really do believe it's going to be some great baseball to watch. And every night is something different. But from a business perspective, what this is also going to do is help them sell season tickets for next year and packages for next year and more sponsorship opportunities for next year. All those things combined have made it a great success story, and it's wonderful to watch that hopefully in September and October and maybe even in early November, we're going to be watching baseball here in the upper Midwest region. And I can't think of a better time of year than the fall when you have all the sports going, and including the pennant races, and our Minnesota Twins will be involved in that. It's so interesting, though, Eric, if you remember at the beginning of the year, the Twins were trying all sorts of packages to get people to come out in April and May before really what people thought was going to be a good team, or they didn't know what was going to happen. And now they're able to sell out almost every night, and which is a great thing. And you're going to see that the remaining part of the year. And I looked at their schedule before I came on air, and they really have a better scenario as far as the schedule is concerned than the Cleveland Indians. And I don't know if the Twins are going to win the division or they're going to be a wild card, but I do believe they're going to be in the playoffs one way or another. And I do believe at a minimum they're going to host a wild card game at Target Field. But I'd like to see them to get into the playoffs and host a series and beat up on somebody this year.
Yeah, and Target Field certainly has been a wonderful venue. It's now 10 years old, and the Pollett family has done a good job over the years of tinkering and tweaking things at the ballpark to try to keep it state-of-the-art. But as you know, Billy Robb, arenas and stadiums, they age in dog years. They get old fast, and you have to stay ahead of the curve, or suddenly you walk into a facility and you're behind the times. So I think the Twins are always looking at ways to keep Target Field as modern as possible, aren't they?
They are, and I give a lot of credit to Dave St. Peter and his staff for what they're trying to do there. And they are looking ahead and what are the new interactive things they can do for their fans and new areas to eat. And that outdoor area out in what I call right center field has been fantastic for them. And I took a walk around the ballpark about 3 weeks ago on a Friday night, and I wanted to see all the different things, and it's a fabulous location. I don't know if there's a better baseball ballpark in the United States for sure, and they've done great things to it, and fans are coming in droves, and as long as they're in a pennant race, it's going to be a really, really fun place to be this late August and all the way through September, and like I said, hopefully into October and maybe even early November.
All right, let's talk Gopher football. They will open up in a couple of weeks at TCF Bank Stadium, another great venue we have here in the Twin Cities, against South Dakota State. The bar of expectation has been raised in Dinkytown. Minnesota won 3 of 4 to finish 2018. They pummeled Purdue. They whipped Wisconsin, and they gashed Georgia Tech in the Quick Lane Bowl. So there's more expectation for success, Billy Robb. Is it translating? Are the Gophers selling more tickets? Are people buying in to the 2019 Minnesota Gopher football team?
Well, I think they're doing better. They've offered over the summer a lot of different packages to try to get people into the venue for football. And I think there's always a wait-and-see attitude when it comes to Gopher football for some reason. And they need to mop up on the non-conference schedule this year. It doesn't look like it's going to be overly challenging for them. They have several home games in the non-conference, but when they get into the Big Ten season, that's where they're going to make their hay, and they really need to get off to a good start. I truly believe that, and stay away from injuries. They've already had a quarterback injury. One of their two starting quarterbacks was hurt, Anistead, and I don't know if he's going to be available at all this year. I don't know the outcome of that, and I don't think they know yet, but they really do need to get off to a good start, and I think it's a great venue. They have some great recruiting classes. P.J. Fleck has done that, but at the bottom line in all this, Eric, is just win, baby, is Al Davis, the late, great former Raider general manager and owner, used to say, you got to win, and they need to prove that to the fan base here because, you know, I was born in 1961, and that's the last time they've been to the Rose Bowl, and I'm 58 years old, so that it's a long drought for them to be in a position where they're going to be playing in a major significant bowl. And I think if PJ can continue to recruit and they stay away from injuries, they're going to have a really good year. Plus, their schedule in the Big Ten, they don't play Michigan, they don't play Ohio State, and they don't play Michigan State, so it stacks up to be a time where they could do extremely well and maybe hopefully play in a significant bowl game this coming December or January.
Yeah, I mean, it's all laid out for the Gophers. I mean, I'm of the belief they have to compete for the Big Ten West title because, as you said, no Buckeyes, no Wolverines, no Spartans on the schedule. And the West appears to be very tight. You know, with Iowa, Wisconsin, Purdue, Northwestern, good clubs. I mean, good schools, no doubt about it. But if Minnesota's ever going to win that Big Ten West and go to that championship game down in Indianapolis, this might be the year. I truly believe if they don't get 9 or 10 wins, it is a step back.
I would agree with you. And I think the one thing that people forget about is if you look at the Iowa Hawkeyes every year, Kurt Franz does such a phenomenal job. Every year they have 8, 9, 10 wins, and they're playing in significant bowl games in the West part of the Big Ten, and I give them a lot of credit. So the Gophers are going to have to figure out a way to beat Iowa this year, in my mind, and Nebraska, if they're going to have a chance to compete, as you say, for 9 to 10 wins. But I do agree that should be the goal this year. And I know PJ Fleck has backed off a bit on his predictions, and he's calmed down when it comes to that. And I think that's a smart move. He's got to win each week, and it's 1 week at a time when you're playing in football, and in every sport it's like that. But for them, they got to worry about what's right in front of them and do the best they can that week and stay away from injuries because they're not that deep yet.
Yeah, that would be South Dakota State week one. Before we get into some other topics, let's project. Let's just be hyperbolic here. If the Gophers were to win the Big Ten West and go to that title game in Indianapolis, would you expect the fan base would travel well? Would that start to maybe be a pivot point where all of a sudden people are going, you know what, I can buy into the Gophers. They've accomplished something.
I think so. I think that would be a major step for the program and for donors and the alumni and just the Gopher football, as they call it, Gopher Nation, would really get into that. And, the national exposure just playing in that Big Ten championship game is fabulous. I think it would be so wonderful. Every year I keep thinking this is going to be the year, and I'm hopeful it's coming. I know Mark Coyle wants this to happen badly, and I know PJ Fleck does, so let's hope with all the fans out there listening that Gopher football is on the rise and will continue to compete at the highest level. And, you know, they're going to be playing teams, the three that I mentioned in the East, are all ranked in the top 20 in college football, as well as Penn State. So there's four teams in the Big Ten, besides you put Minnesota off to the side, who are going to be highly ranked at the start of the year. That does not mean that they're going to be there at the end of the year, but it looks to be another fabulous year for Big Ten football.
It's the business of sports with our good friend Billy Robertson. Used to be the PR guy with the Wild, the Timberwolves, the Angels, and the Ducks, now the commissioner of the WCHA. Billy, a venue that you and I both know well, the Los Angeles Coliseum, got a major facelift, even by Hollywood standards. $315 million. I saw photos of it yesterday in the LA Times. It looks great. And that's primarily for USC, because we know the Rams are going to leave for Inglewood here soon. But talk about the branding of and the renovation of an older venue like the Coliseum. What does that do for a school and revenue and profits, as opposed to building something new? Because there are certain places, Fenway, you know, Wrigley, the Coliseum, you name it. Sometimes you want to stay put. You just have to fix the infrastructure.
Yeah, and it's an iconic and historic venue. It's hosted two Olympic Games, and also has hosted so many great sporting events in the past. And I think they were concerned that potentially USC would move out of that venue and build another venue at another place, or go play somewhere else like the Rose Bowl or something else. And I think that's why the city of Los Angeles and the legislature got together and were smart to do that. And I think it's going to help recruiting at USC, and will help them in the future. It's got a great history of that program, as you know, going back to John McKay and John Robinson, and the list goes on and on of the great athletes that played football on that field. And I want to see them do well, because I think it helps the city of Los Angeles. And when you have USC and UCLA playing good football, that community rallies around it, and that's an exciting time when they both play each other, whether it's at the Coliseum or at the Rose Bowl. And when they both played in the Rose Bowl, it was even more special, because it was split down the middle, 50-50 with the fan base.
All right, Allianz Field in the Midway area of St. Paul. What a honeymoon season this has been. Minnesota United currently in second place, Billy Robb, MLS West. They're going to play tonight against Orlando City FC in St. Paul. And the venue has played to rave reviews. Everybody's gushing about it. They're going to get the U.S. Soccer team, the Women's World Cup winners, in early September. So Allianz Field quickly, in year number one, has made a mark, hasn't it?
It certainly has. And I know Dr. Bill McGuire and their team CEO, Chris Wright, couldn't be happier with what's going on there. I don't think they expected to be this good so quickly, but it helps with the year they move into their new venue, Allianz Field in St. Paul, that they've done so well competitively on the field. And I know that the soccer TV ratings have improved throughout the year, bit by bit, and they're getting more and more fans and a younger audience into that venue. And I think they're going to be really good for years to come. But I know that Dr. McGuire and a lot of people were asking, you know, why would they only build a 20,000-seat stadium? Well, he wants to make sure for long-term viability that it's a great place to play, and that season tickets are going to be harder to get. And I think he's done that, and they put themselves in a position to be very successful for many years to come. And I'm so happy for him, because he had that vision and stood up when a lot of people didn't think it was going to work. And Bill is very much a visionary guy, and I'm happy for him that it's gone so well, and their staff have worked extremely hard. And I know that they're still making tweaks, like Target Field has made many tweaks, and like U.S. Bank Stadium and TCF Bank Stadium and the Xcel Energy Center, Allianz Field has had to, you know, look at where spots where people are coming into the venue, the lines for food, how can they upgrade their food value. All those things are being looked at, and that's one of Chris Wright's specialties. He knows how to get that stuff done, and I wish him the best of luck, and hope they're going to be in the playoffs this year. And then they're going to host many, many sporting events besides soccer, including they have a St. Thomas football game coming up, Eric, that you and Dave Lee will be doing, and that should be a lot of fun to watch as well.
Yeah, can't wait for that one. I've been to seven or eight matches at Allianz, and I absolutely love the venue. It's one of my top facilities here in the Twin Cities to go watch sports at. They've done a marvelous job. Billy, as always, great to catch up with you, and we'll talk soon.
All right, looking forward to it, Eric. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, he's Billy Robertson, current commissioner, WCHA. Once upon a time, he got the Timberwolves started, the Wild started, the Ducks started. He worked for the Los Angeles Angels. And, boy, what a great guy Billy Rob is. We call this segment The Business of Sports. We do it periodically here on CCO. We are cruising along on a CCO Sports Saturday, 82 degrees outside, a sun-kissed day in the Twin Towns, wind out of the south at 9, dew point at 55. So just comfortable out there. And pretty much exactly the way most of us want it. 3:34 on this Sports Saturday. Eric Nelson with you here until 6:30. Sports Saturday goes until 6. In fact, we will take your phone calls. If you want to talk Twins, Vikes, T-Wolves, Gophers, Wild, anything on your sports plate, Minnesota United, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Twins fans have already gotten a dose of good news today. The Cleveland Indians lose in the Bronx to the New York Yankees 6-5. So right now, the Twins' lead in the AL Central is 2. If Minnesota wins tonight over Texas, it'll be 2.5. The line score from the house that Derek Jeter built, 6-8-0 for the New York Yankees, 5-9-2 for the Cleveland Indians. Paxton, the winner for New York, he's 9-6. Plesak, the loser for the Indians, he's 6-4. Aroldis Chapman picks up his 35th save of the season. The Yankees' offensive heroes, Torres had a couple of hits, 2 RBI, 2 runs scored. LeMahieu, 2 hits, 2 RBI, a run scored. LeMahieu in that offensive outburst, his 20th home run of the year. Didi Gregorius at his 11th home run also for the New York Yankees, who win it by 1-6-5 for the Cleveland Indians. 2 hits for Mercado, 3 for Santana, 2 for Puig, but it's not enough, and the Yankees win it 6-5. So the Twins are right now 2 games ahead of the Cleveland Indians in the AL Central, and what a week it's been. You go back to last Sunday, and I was at Target Field getting ready to do final pitch, and it was a dagger defeat. There's no other way to sugarcoat it. The Twins lost in 10 innings. Carlos Santana had a grand slam. In the bottom of the ninth inning, they thought they had a walk-off win. Marwin Gonzalez hit a rocket double to left. Tying run scored, but Ire Adrianza was throwing out at the plate on a tremendous relay from Naquin to Lindor to Plawecki, who blocked the plate. So the chance to walk it off did not happen for Minnesota. They lose. The Indians were tied at that point as both teams left town. Then on Monday, the Indians win. The Twins were off. Suddenly, Minnesota was out of first place. But a few days later, that lead is up to 2. It just goes to show you, especially in Major League Baseball, you can't panic. You have to work the process. Things are going to happen when you play 162 regular season games. And it's been a good week so far for the Twins, splitting in Milwaukee with the Brewers and winning their first 2 games against the Texas Rangers. Meanwhile, the Indians have lost 2 of 3 to Boston, 2 of 3 to the New York Yankees. They'll play the Yankees again tomorrow. And then they play the Mets. So the good news for the Indians is the travel will be brief and quick, a bus ride instead of another trip on a jet as they go from the Bronx to Queens, Citi Field. So Twins and Rangers tonight, first pitch at 6:30 pregame, and then the start of the game from Arlington, Globe Life Park with Corey and Chris. That'll be right around 7:10. Major League Baseball announced earlier this week that the 2020 schedule is out. MLB now has its own version of March Madness. The brain wizards who run the game suddenly think it's cool to open the regular season in March. In 2020, all 30 teams will start on March 26th. That's the earliest in MLB history. Baseball's marathon season is now even longer. The only games played in March, in my opinion, should be in Arizona and Florida. It's called spring training. I sense no demand for March games that count. especially in Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Minneapolis, New York City, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh, where snow flies as often as baseballs. It's simple. MLB should not play meaningful games until after the Final Four is finished. April is when the season should begin. Anything before that makes MLB look like a bunch of April fools. But the problem, J-Lo, is they keep starting the season earlier and earlier. This year, Twins and Indians began on March 28th here in Minneapolis. Next year, March 26th. Are we getting to the point where the season will begin on St. Patrick's Day?
Ooh.
I mean, we're not that far away.
No, you're not. You're less than 2 weeks in front of that day. And everybody talks about we want to have the eyes of the nation on our sport as much as possible. And some people don't understand why baseball would do this, because when you're in late March, there's one thing that's on everybody's mind. Well, most people's minds, not everybody's mind, but I'd say on the majority of people's minds, it's college basketball. And so you have the men's national tournament, you have the women's national tournament during that time. And then, you know, the 26th, I would believe that would be the regional weekend this coming year in 2020. And then you still have the Final Four to go. And then after that, the major focus turns to golf, because the Monday is the Final Four. That same week, Thursday, you start the Masters. And so you're probably not going to have any eyes on baseball for the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Or really any focus on it. And so I'll give you another example of this. The PGA Tour, what they did this year, what they're currently doing in their cycle, to a lot of people makes a lot of sense. Right now you're kind of in the doldrums. You got baseball going on, but it's the dog days of August. You've got the U.S. Open coming up for tennis, but you also don't have the NFL. You got preseason football, but a lot of people won't necessarily pay attention
to it.
They
check out.
This is preseason.
Yeah.
But you get the PGA Tour used to have September and right around going into October, they'd have their playoffs, and they'd end the season sometime late September, early October. Well, now what they've done is they've pushed everything forward, and they're saying, okay, August is our playoffs. We're going to be done with the season, the calendar year, before Labor Day. Now, golf will continue. It's going to be going – it switches right into the next season the week after the Tour Championship. But the difference is they know that the eyes of the sporting world will mostly be on the MLB playoffs and the NFL. And so making sure that your crescendo is especially before the NFL gets underway, that in a lot of people's minds is logistically smart. So why baseball is trying to push further back into March, when again you have beginnings and endings. You can't control when your season ends a lot of times, but you want to have as many eyeballs as possible on the end of your season. You can control when your season begins for the most part. Why you would push it into a space that is occupied by another sport, I don't understand it.
It's baffling to me. And if you want to weigh in out there in CCO Nation, give us a call, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. To capsulize, the Major League Baseball season in 2020 will start on March 26th, the earliest in MLB history. And I say that is way too soon. Once upon a time, baseball didn't start until after the Final Four was played. And that's the way it still should be. And here, the weird thing is they'll start on the 26th, and then these teams will have a couple of off days, and then they'll play again. I know they're building in some weather days where they're going to lose games to weather, but I don't think MLB should be playing games that count in March. I think this is foolhardy. And also, it takes a little bit away from spring training. Now, I realize they may start playing Grapefruit and Cactus League games in late February down there in Florida and Arizona, but usually on the old clock, they'd report in February, the teams, and then you knew they'd start playing the exhibition games in March. Now it's all going haywire, and I just think this is not good. And to me, I'm going to put this under the category of Thursday night football. I can't stand Thursday night football, and the NFL has brainwashed us thinking we need it. I never saw a demand from the NFL people I know, and I know a ton of people who follow the Shield. Nobody ever said to me, I want more Thursday night games. In fact, fantasy folks can't stand it. They got to get lineups in early. But the NFL is forcing this on us. The same NFL that tells us we care about player safety. Yet they're going to make guys play on 3-4 days rest? Hypocritical. But that's what the NFL's done. The only Thursday games, in my opinion, that should be played in the National Football League, maybe the opener, I'll give them that, and Thanksgiving. The other Thursdays, yawn. Let's go to Burnsville. Troy, you're on CCO. Hey, Troy.
Hi, Eric. How's it going today?
Good. Great to have you on.
Sure. I just wanted to say, you know, the thing is with Major League Baseball is they have been, you know, with each player's contract, they've been, it seems like they've been adding more and more off days. So that is part of the reason why they've been starting early. But, yeah, I still think it's not right to have the baseball season start when the basketball tournament's going on. It just does not make a lot of sense to me. And it's just, they're just putting what the players want up before what the fans want.
Yeah, and I understand the need for some off days. It's a grueling grind, 162 games. But, you know, March 26th, it doesn't even feel right. Your body clock tells you, hey, it's March Madness for basketball. NBA and NHL teams are, you know, making playoff runs. You know, even the NFL has free agency going on in March. I don't like it. I don't think it's going to garner them more fans, MLB.
You know, the other thing that bothers me is, you play your opener, especially in the cold markets, you know, like, you know, Minneapolis, then you have a Friday off day. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No, me either, Troy. Thanks for the call. It's baffling. And again, in places like Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Minneapolis, New York City, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, in March and even in April, snow sometimes flies as much as baseballs. So they're just asking for more weather trouble. Let's go to Sleepy Eye. Tom, you're on CCO.
Well, hi. Yeah, I've got a problem with these early games. We've got enough problems with guys getting hurt on that baseball field. I kind of contribute that to a lack of conditioning. And I think you put that season ahead of time. Is the start season, is it going to be earlier than February for the players to report to have that adequate conditioning, or are we going to have more injuries involving players in this league? So that's I'll listen to your comments. I love your show.
All right, thanks so much, Tom. We appreciate you weighing in. And I think that's a valid point. And here's the rub. And look, I'm going to be fair here. Even if the season started in early April, you run the risk of cold weather, you know, in the north. And that's a fact. But you do push it out a little bit. When players leave Arizona and they leave Florida, and then you come up here to Minneapolis or Detroit or somewhere like that, it's a big transition. And the weather is usually much, much different. But by going into, you know, now March 26th to start, I just think you're playing – with the, you know, you're playing weather roulette. There's even more of a chance now of colder weather or a snowstorm or something like that. And it could affect the players and conditioning and getting ready. It is a radical change to go from the heat of Florida, the heat of Arizona, to the spring chill of the upper Midwest or the Northeast. But that's what MLB is doing. And I hate to say it, like J-Lo and I were talking about, if they're going to start on March 26th, at what point do they start on St. Patrick's Day and everybody wears green? I mean, because that's what this is all about. MLB thinks it's going to garner them more green, as in dollar bills. I'm not so sure it's going to work out that way, but we'll see. It's, to me, unfortunate, though, that we just don't – some things can be left alone. It's okay to do things the way you've always done them, And by starting a regular baseball season in early April, that's okay. That's what we've done. You know, you've heard about body clocks and nature clocks. There are sports clocks. MLB, April, that makes sense. March, I'm all for it. If I'm sitting down in Fort Myers or in Phoenix watching a spring training game, I don't really want to be on the south side of Chicago or in Minneapolis watching the MLB in late March. It's 3:48 here on a CCO Sports Saturday. It is a CCO Sports Saturday postcard-like afternoon in the Twin Cities. 3:53, Eric with you. Thanks so much for tuning us in. We're at 82 degrees. Just a few clouds in the sky. Wind out of the south at 9. Dew point low, 55. Boy, these are the days when I wish management would have listened to me, J-Lo, and put the retractable roof in here at CCO. I said there would be days we'd use it. This would be one of them. Let Mother Nature in on the show.
I'm not commenting on that. No. I'm leaving that one alone.
Next hour, we will go down to the Metroplex, Arlington, Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth. Talk to Dave Raymond, Texas Rangers TV broadcaster. He's getting set for Game 3 of the four-game weekend series, Twins and Rangers tonight at Globe Life Park. Of course, the Twins have won the first two games of the series, and their lead now in the AL Central is up to 2. That's because the Yankees have already beaten Cleveland today in the Bronx 6-5. So the evil empire helping out Twins territory a bit, as the Yanks have won 2 out of 3 so far against Cleveland in their four-game series. In the 5 o'clock hour, we will talk purple with Matthew Hatchett, ex-Minnesota Vikings wideout, played with Randy Moss on some of those great teams under Dennis Green. So Matthew will check in with us. Now he's a prep football coach in Long Beach, California, near Los Angeles. Vikes and Seahawks tomorrow night, 7 o'clock kickoff from the artificial and sterile confines of U.S. Bank Stadium. That'll be preseason game number 2 for both teams. The Vikings won their opener last week over the New Orleans Saints, 34-25. We might get a sneak peek at the newbie, Kari Vedvik, kicker the Vikings gave up a 5th-round pick for last week, getting him from the Baltimore Ravens. He's a multidimensional guy, J-Lo. I guess he's the Marwin Gonzalez of the Vikings. He's a Swiss Army knife. He does it all. He punts, he kicks, he holds. I don't know what they're going to do. Is Dan Bailey coming or going? But I do know this. The Vikings better shore up their special teams or it's going to bite them.
Well, and then you look at the punting situation. What happens to the punter that's in-house?
Matt Weil.
Yeah, does he leave? I think it harkens back to a time when kickers were both punters and place kickers, you know, and kickoff kickers. We haven't seen that in a while. They've been more specialists, and so we'll see what this guy can do. It's up in the air at this point because he didn't. the problem was he didn't play a lot with the Ravens because the Ravens have one of the best place kickers in the NFL with Justin Tucker. So it's a mystery at this point.
And let's step back for a moment in the draft of 2018, the Minnesota Vikings selected Daniel Carlson in the middle rounds out of Auburn. So they invested a pick in somebody who can kick. Now, that's good if it works out. That didn't work out. 2 weeks into last season, Carlson had a nightmare on the tundra in Green Bay. I was there. He had a bunch of misses. The game went to overtime. It was a tie. The Vikings felt they should have won because Carlson, he was inaccurate. The Packers thought they should have won because Clay Matthews got called for maybe the most bogus roughing the passer call I've ever seen. I think Clay may have whispered in Kirk Cousins' ear and he fell down and he got a flag. But I digress. So Carlson is cut. I think they made him walk back, by the way, from Green Bay. They basically cut him that night at Lambeau. And the Raiders pick him up, and Carlson thrived in Oakland. Now the Vikings have invested another pick in Vedvik. This better work out. memo to the Vikings. Special teams does count. This is CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.